This morning I'm going to talk to you briefly about an educational series that I put together with some colleagues of mine. And largely this was as a result of a grant where we did a needs assessment with older adults to find out what kind of behavioral health topics they would be interested in. I have no financial relationships to disclose. And let me tell you a little bit of the journey and the story. So one of the steps towards really helping people understand behavioral health literacy is to create an awareness among particularly older adults, since this topic is for older adults, and their caregivers, to understand some of the dynamics about behavioral health or mental health topics and issues. All too often, amongst an older adult population, there's this thought that sometimes behavior which isn't consistent with mental vitality should be accepted amongst older adults. And the literature suggests that's a myth, and I'm here to also suggest that. So a way of reconciling those myths is to really help people improve their literacy levels. And once people improve those levels, they can make better choices when seeking treatment and treatment options. So this project was really designed to help older adults and their caregivers have some educational tools which could help them better understand some of the range of mental health issues that affect older adults and their caregivers, and help them build some intervention strategies or better address some of their needs. The conceptual framework that this intervention is based upon is basically twofold. One is using the stages of change model that was developed by Prochaska and DiClemente, and the second is Bandura's self-efficacy model. So the intervention that I'm going to share with you in a minute makes use of the various stages of the Prochaska DiClemente model, ranging from pre-contemplation all the way to contemplation through planning, action, evaluation, and then follow-up. So I'm going to share with you a little bit about the actual intervention, which is a series of 10 different modules and easy listening CDs. But within the modules, there's information that targets each one of these particular stages. And so, you know, maybe people have not ever thought that they might be affected by specific issues. And if not, that's fine. But the module will also take people through the stage of making some plans for how to better intervene for themselves or their family members. And then there's a follow-up that's associated with it to see if some of what they're doing is helping or not. Bandura's self-efficacy model basically relies on giving people the opportunity to look at their past experiences, their vicarious experience or those experiences modeled by others. They also make use of coaching and feedback to help address their social and emotional stress. And through these things, then it affects their ability to make better decisions about how they will provide care or react to caregiving situations. So unfortunately, I don't have my infrared monitor to run through that model, but essentially, that's the idea behind how this intervention was constructed. So let me tell you about the intervention. The goal was really to give people health information that would help families and family members make better decisions about decision-making as caregivers. So there are several steps in the process of developing this. And so first, a needs assessment was done in 2008 through a grant that we received from the Division of Health and Human Services. And that grant was designed to give people information about behavioral health topics and oral health topics. But within it, we also had a post-test survey. And the post-test survey asked people to identify 10 specific areas they wanted to learn more about. And so from those areas, we culled together 10 topics that we then have built into this educational series. And through the process, a partnership emerged between our School of Social Work at Southern Illinois University Carbondale and an agency in the community called Caring Counseling Ministries. And we tried to develop a partnership to look for funding in order to support this initiative. At the same time, we also partnered with a radio station in the area called WGGH Radio Station, and they have a weekly program called Dare to Care. So the program offered us airtime once a month to discuss these various topics in caregiving. And so we used those topics to be able to develop an easy listening CD, and the radio station then worked with us to edit them so that the commercial breaks and some of the kind of weekly materials are edited out. So we had an intern. I had a social work intern working at that particular agency, and so that agency gave us intern time to write a script to use on the radio program. And from the script, the student and I then worked on developing a therapeutic workbook that went along with the radio program. The therapeutic workbook was built upon evidence-based programs and also current research and best practice that was in the literature. The radio program then cut us a CD that we could use, and a module package emerged between having a CD as well as a workbook. So our partners, like I mentioned, included this Caring Counseling Ministries, a radio station, the Dare to Care weekly radio show, and then our institution, the School of Social Work at Southern Illinois University, Carbondale. So each therapeutic workbook and easy listening CD has a half-hour show that meshes with the workbook. And within each workbook, we have a case study that showcases a typical scenario, some statistics and facts about the topic area, common concerns that families may experience or individuals, ideas and resources for further contacts, and then action steps that can help the caregiver or the individual using the workbook. Here's the topics. The topics include: what is caregiving, caregiving hoops and wrangles, caregiving and depression, caregiving in people with Alzheimer's disease, caregiving and legal issues, caregiver burnout and compassion fatigue, grandparents raising grandchildren, caregiving in people or loved ones with chronic health care needs, caregiving in behavioral health issues, and then end-of-life care, grief, and loss. So I'm just going to run really briefly through each of the topics and some of the key features. So in the What is Caregiving module, some of the key features include things like a definition of what is caregiving, specific examples of caregiving behaviors, and a background to different stressors and challenges that caregivers may experience. The second module, which is called Caregiving Hoops and Wrangles, includes some legal issues that caregivers will face, strategies to deal with social and emotional issues that caregivers may face, and strategies to deal with the curveballs that caregivers face within their role. The third module, entitled Caregiving and Depression, includes some key features such as signs and symptoms of depression. How likely are people to experience depression and burnout? And how then can depression impact the caregiving process? And this module has become very important for people who are caregivers because it helps them recognize that they're not isolated and alone. But it also helps them develop some strategies that they personally can use to address barriers that lead to their own kind of depression. So each person may have different kinds of triggers that affect them in different ways, and this module is designed to help people personalize what those triggers are and how to resolve them. The fourth module, which is entitled Caregiving in People with Alzheimer's Disease, I think it's been great for people, especially who do not have a medical background, because the module really takes the biology of the aging brain and puts it into a layperson's context to understand what's happening at each stage of deterioration due to Alzheimer's disease. And it really also explains how one's behavior is impacted as a result of what's happening due to the biology in the brain. Within the module, we give people an idea of different signs and symptoms to look for and what to look for as the disease progresses through the brain. We also have tied the behaviors to what kinds of scores people may have on a mini mental status exam, which is a commonly used tool when we're looking at assessing people's functioning level as they face cognitive decline. The fifth module, caregiving and legal issues, goes through a very specific legal issues that caregivers need to be aware of as they face their caregiver process. It includes things like dealing with the power of attorney for one's body, power of attorney for one's state, bringing powers of attorney, and strategies to be aware of in order to protect one's estate. And this module is actually co-written with an attorney who is an elder law attorney and has written prolifically in the area. The sixth module on caregiving, caregiver burnout, and compassion fatigue helps people understand some of the kinds of signs and symptoms that are associated with compassion fatigue and how that interweaves with their role as caregiver. It also goes through a number of signs and symptoms that compassion fatigue may present and how that will impact the caregiving process. And then lastly, it goes through and explains strategies that one can use to protect themselves against encountering compassion fatigue as a caregiver. The seventh module, entitled Grandparents Raising Grandchildren, helps build an understanding for grandparents who have been entrusted with the responsibility of taking care of their grandchildren. Oftentimes, grandparents do so out of kinship care and don't understand some of the legal issues that are associated with becoming a legal guardian for their grandchild. So this module also addresses some of those issues for grandparents. And it also helps grandparents begin to understand some behavior management strategies that they can utilize with their grandchildren and some of the reasons why their grandchildren may behave in certain ways, because of the situation in terms of maybe them being detached from their parents or dealing with trauma that they may have experienced. The eighth module deals with caregiving with loved ones who have chronic health care needs. And these chronic health care needs run the gamut from chronic disease, multiple sclerosis, short-term chronic illnesses, heart, stroke, etc. And it really helps the caregiver better understand how that chronic illness has affected their loved one and how they can adjust or help their loved one deal with the chronic illness issues and the impact of it, and deal with their caregiver role. So many of the issues that one can expect to incur within different aspects of chronic health care needs are also addressed in this module. The ninth module is called Caregiving and Behavioral Health Issues, and behavioral issues became kind of paramount, especially with people who may have had some organic brain damage or head injuries. And so those individuals present their unique set of issues that caregivers are faced with. So within this module, there are a number of strategies presented to help the caregiver and the loved one deal with behavioral issues. And there are also a number of resources that have been developed to help the caregiver work with their loved one who has a behavioral health issue. And the last module is directed towards end-of-life care, grief, and loss. And within this module, the contents really are aimed at helping an individual understand some of the end-of-life care issues, grieving, and loss for both the loved one and the caregiver. It helps the caregiver also understand the stages of grief and loss and different stages as one progresses towards that last journey of their life. This module also describes hospice care and helps people understand the role that hospice care can play in the end-of-life process and also how hospice care can be funded. So we spent a good year and a half developing these modules, and so now we're in the stage where we're field testing these modules to see what impact they really do have for the caregiver and to test the effectiveness of these modules for caregivers based on caregiver stress and depression. And so we have some instruments that we've embedded within a questionnaire that we give to people prior to them taking a module, and then a month following the module in implementation, and then 6 months, and 9 months later. We're hoping to obtain some financial support through some grant funding. We already have had some commitment and support from our School of Medicine and our Memory Disorders Clinic through our campus. But we are also in the process of applying for some other grants to continue this series and to build on it. So the next stage, of course, then will be a presentation talking about the efficacy of these modules. And our partner really would like to look at moving from caregiving into parenting issues as well. So if we're successful with this series, the parenting series is the next on the horizon. So if you would like any more information, feel free to email me or telephone me or contact me. If you feel that the series could be helpful with some of the caregivers that you work with or consumers you work with, I'm also very open to looking at other people, field test the material. So I would also invite you to contact me if you'd like to field test and utilize this model for an intervention within your own home-based community. Thank you.